a lot in the prayer that I'm going to be mentioning tonight. And that was an encouragement to me. I thank you all the brethren for your prayers. Brother Roddy mentioned the lonely. We'll be talking about that tonight for a little bit. God is just so good to us. John's Gospel, chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14. A couple of verses that we could quote by memory. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if or when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm sure the Lord will bless our hearts, the reading of his holy, precious word. The title of the message tonight is Comforting Words About Home. Brother Wayne mentioned that a lot in his prayer. Comforting words about home. Home meaning a place of one's abode or a fixed residence. Our heavenly home, our earthly home for the believer is not a fixed residence. Let me get it right. Our earthly home for the believer is not a fixed residence. Our heavenly home is our fixed residence. We're just passing through, saints. Heaven is our fixed residence. Another meaning is our native place and country. Our citizenship is really not here. Paul, writing to the Philippians, says, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior. Another definition of home, one's final resting place. And that's heaven itself for the believer. And another definition, home is a place of affection, peace, rest, and shelter. You know, we go off to work, we come home, and we expect to get some kind of affection when we get home. Always that, if I could only get home and just get some peace or get rest. Listen, saints, our heavenly home, you're going to find affection like you've never, never seen or heard about. Because we're going to see the one who has the greatest love and laying down his life for rebel sinners such as me and you. That's the one who has affection. It's going to be peace like you've never heard about or felt or seen. The rest there is going to be so different from here. And shelter, no more storm clouds there. Perfect peace and rest. Six things are necessary to make a house a home. And they should be found in every Christian home. First, to make a house a home, we need an architect. An architect has integrity about his name. Every dot he makes on that plan, every line he crosses, means something. It's integrity behind his name. And for every Christian home, there should be integrity, meaning uprightness of character. There should be honesty. There should be truth and home. There should be justice, virtue. Every home needs an upholsterer, one who keeps things tidy, neat, orderly. And saints, our lives should be kept that way. It speaks of our lives should be kept neat and tidy and orderly. Sometimes shame on us, the way we keep ourselves and the way we conduct ourselves. A home needs heating. It might not be here in the Bahamas, but if you go up north, they can't live without it. Some of the cold climates, they would freeze to death without the heating. And eating speaks of affection and goodwill. What would a home be without lighting? Oh, you say we made it before electricity? We had lamps and lanterns. No, completely no light. All dark. What would it be like? It really wouldn't be a home. Well, the lighting speaks of cheerfulness. Every home should be cheerful. They should be merry, joyous, happy. And then what would a home be without the ventilation? Windows, doors, or AC. No air at all into the home. You wouldn't be able to live there, would you? Same in the Christian area. What would a home be without ventilation, without us, as it were, being windows and doors to let the fresh air of what God has given us out into that home? And then the protecting roof. What would that be, us be without a roof? It really wouldn't be us. And what would a home be without God's blessing and God's protection? That's by way of introduction. Now, comforting words about home for the stranded. Comforting words about home for the tired. Comforting words about home for the anxious, for the tempted, for the lonely, and for the trustful. We're going to be brief, not going to dwell long on each one. First, the stranded. We read that portion of scripture. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. You know, many folks tonight are stranded without a home. Recently in the United States, many godly people have had to give up their home, didn't have a job, not able to pay the mortgage, and they find themselves stranded without a home. During Hurricane Andrew right here, some folk lost their home. Some lost their roofs. Stranded without a home. In my Father's house are many mansions. Folks, saints, we shall never, ever be stranded there for home. Says, if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I think that could have two meanings. I think the Lord Jesus could very well have been saying, when he said, I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to Calvary. He's in the upper room. He's just told them that he's going to give his body and he's going to shed his blood for the remission of sins. And the disciples are, he knows they're going to be shattered. He knows they're going to be bewildered, confused, and not know what to do. And he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were no, not so I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And he says, look, I'm going to Calvary. And there, by me giving my life for you, shedding my blood, you're going to be able to have a home in heaven forever. I think that's one of the meanings. But I still believe it could be the other meaning, that he's actually gone to heaven to prepare a place for us. He said, if it wasn't so, I would have told you. And here the disciples should have been lending the Lord support, knowing that he's about to die, and he's giving them support. He's giving them comfort. He says, look, don't you worry. I'm going to prepare that place for you, and you'll never have to worry about a mansion over there. Mansion, meaning dwelling places, rooms, all in the Father's large house. There's room there for every redeemed child of God. Everyone has a place in that great mansion. Saints, no bank will ever take it. No hurricane will ever destroy it. Neither a fire will ever burn it. It is secure for eternity. Here, the bank might take it. The hurricane might destroy it, or the fire might burn it. But not that heavenly home, secure forever. I will come back again. Its desire is to ever be with him for eternity. Where I am, where I'm to be eternally, there you shall be eternally with me. And saints, he will not build a lodging and furnish it and leave it empty. That place is there for you and for me. You know, we don't know much about heaven. We know something, especially in Revelation. John tells us a few things what heaven's going to be like. He says there's going to be a pure river of water, clear as crystal. Wow. I always love clear water. But you know what? It's going to be different from just clear and like crystal. It's going to be pure. You could drink this water. It tells us this is a place of refreshment. It tells me that we will never, saints, ever thirst again. And then he says, there's a tree of life in this home. He says, and it's going to bear fruit every month and 12 kinds of fruit. That's the kind of fruit tree I'd like to have in my backyard. Man, I can't grow anything there now. But every month and 12 kinds of fruit. What a place. What a place to spend eternity. Streets of gold. Thing we're striving so hard for tonight, today, and every day, gonna walk on it. Thing they're making so much about in the news, buy gold. We're gonna walk on it. Walls of jasper, and so on. What a place to spend eternity. Before I leave this point, saints, we were all stranded. All of us. Without a home in heaven. But the Lord Jesus Christ came, left his mansion, that you and I might have a mansion with him for eternity. That's enough for me to close and go home to see such a sacrifice. As I said, we don't know what heaven's really going to be like. We sometimes, that verse, I know, allow me to take it out of its context. I know it's talking about the Holy Spirit. Eye is not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God had prepared for his people. It's not really talking about heaven there, but I think we could relate that to heaven. Because nobody could ever comprehend what it's going to be like. Right now, we see as through a glass. But then, face to face. Reminds me of a story of a little boy who came from a very extremely poor family. And at Christmas time, he received no gifts at all. He'd love to have those toys when he saw those other little boys and girls have. He used to go up to the window and put his face on the glass and look through and said, oh, I would love to have that toy. One day, a car ran over the little boy. He was taken to the hospital. And the nurse, one of the nurses brought him some toys, some soldier troops. He held them in his hand and began to feel them. He says, there's no glass between. There's no glass between saints. That's what heaven's going to be like. There'll be no glass between us. We're going to be there. Home. Forever. What a day. What a day. Comforting words about home for the tired. I'm not going to spend that much time in the rest because I won't even get close. And Hebrews 4:9 says, there remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. And the word here suggests a rest, like God's rest after creation. Scripture says that there the weary shall be at rest. You know, nights, I always sit either in front of Brother Roddy or in back. And both hours most of the times, then we get up, oh, am I so tired. Saints, listen. It's no fatigue there. We'll be in a place at complete rest. Not that we won't do anything for the Lord. Yes, we'll serve Him, we'll worship Him, but we won't be tired. We won't be worn out. We won't be stressed. What a place. What a place to spend eternity. Hebrews 3:11 says, so I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Talking about the children of Israel. God had promised them earthly rest in the land of Canaan. But because of rebellion, all generation never entered to that rest. And saints, many times, because of sin in our lives here, we never enter into the rest that the Lord has even for us here. So often because of sin. But that eternal rest, no one shall ever take that from us. In God's eternal rest, we shall cease from labors down here. But as I said, we'll serve Him and worship Him because there'll be no fatigue, no persecution, no distress, and no affliction. What a place to be. But then, comforting words about the anxious. I like this. Anxious means worry. I'm the worst one in the room tonight for that. Fear, fretting, distress of mind, uneasy. That's anxious. Listen to what Isaiah 65:4 says. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart. Saints, when we get home, there's going to be no more worry. We're going to sing for joy of heart. You think you like singing here when Brother Russ gets up here and leads the singing. You think you like that. But there's not going to be anything in our mind to trouble us to be fretting about. And He says, His servants, that's me and you, shall sing for joy of heart. Contrasted to those who don't know the Lord Jesus. Be sorrow of heart for them. I'm looking forward to that. You know, if you're singing and you're joyful in heart, it's no time to worry. There's no time to fret. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's our strength here and it'll be our strength in heaven. Psalm 16:11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. And I understand that word fullness means like a cup overflowing. and overflowing and never sees the overflow. Saints, there will be joy for a few hours or a few days. This joy shall never, ever run out. And that's why we can be able to sing with joy of heart there forever. But let me say, in the meanwhile down here, there's going to be times when there's not going to be real joy. The psalmist said it like this, weeping may endure for a night, but you know what? It don't end there. Joy comes in the morning. You'll say, Brother Freddie, it's more than a night for me. It's been years. I just weep in the problems I have, my family, and so many other things in my body. Not for a night. It's been almost most of my life. Listen, saints, let me encourage you tonight. This is an encouraging message. Compared to eternity, it's only a night. That's all compared to eternity. Life trials will seem so small when we see Christ. And in the meanwhile, why are we here? Peter says, casting all your cares upon him. Why? Why, Peter, should I put them on him? Because he cares for you. You know, in that verse, we have anxious care. Casting all your cares upon him. Anxious care. But also in the last part of that verse, he cares for you. Affectionate care. Over against our anxious cares are God's affectionate care. He loves us. He cares for us. I came across this little sort of a message in itself while I was getting this message. It has been said that the light of heaven will be the face of Jesus. Brother Wayne prayed on that. Tonight there's no night there. It'd be the light. And that's from Scripture. The light of heaven will be the face of Jesus. And folks, let me tell you, there'll be no night there. His face will shine brighter than the sun. And then they went on to say, the joy of heaven, and this is what we're on now, will be the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That will be the joy. His presence, fullness of joy. But they went on to say, the melody of heaven will be the name of Jesus Christ. We sometimes sing how sweet the name of Jesus sounds. In a believer's ear, it soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away its fear. And then they went on to say, the harmony of heaven will be the praise of Jesus. Saints will sing that song throughout eternity. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And the theme of heaven will be the work of Jesus. Saints, I believe with all my heart that will be the theme, the work of the cross. Brother Roddy prayed about it tonight, Calvary. What he did at Calvary will be the theme throughout eternity. His work. And then the employment of heaven will be the service of Jesus Christ. As I said, we'll be able to serve him and never get tired. If the light of heaven is the face of Jesus, and the joy of heaven is the presence of Jesus Christ, and the melody of heaven is the name of Jesus Christ, and the harmony of heaven is the presence of Jesus Christ, and the theme of heaven is the work of Jesus Christ, and the employment of heaven is the service of Jesus Christ, then the fullness of heaven is Jesus Christ himself. That's the fullness of heaven in his presence is fullness of joy. Confident words about home for the tempted. Listen at what Job says. Job 3:17. There the wicked shall cease from troubling, and the weary be at rest. Saints, the wicked one will never be able to tempt us or test us again when we get home. There the wicked shall cease from troubling. The weary, the small, the great, the servant, the master shall never be tempted or tested. No more trials in our heavenly home. Free from all temptations. Those who are not toiled will there see the Lord of the toils, and there the weary will be at rest. Paul, writing to the Corinthian believers, said, while we're still here, there are going to be trials. But when we get there, no trials. But while here, saints, they're going to be. Paul gives us some encouragement. And this is what he says. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that we might be able to bear it. Underline those words. If you want to turn near 1 Corinthians 10:13, God is faithful. Saints, listen, if I had told you that, I might not have been able to hold out to it. I might have changed my mind. I might have got sick and not been able to do it. I might have died. But God, who is from eternity past and will be, His eternal being is forever and ever, says He is faithful. That's enough for me tonight. What a great comfort. Men and the world are going to be false. They're going to be untrue. But God will always remain faithful to us. Above what we are able, God knows the frame. He knows exactly what we can take. And He says He'll make a way to escape. I don't think the idea to escape, it means to escape the temptation. I don't believe it means that. But I think He will make a way that we'll be able to endure it and safely and victoriously till we get over to the other side. That's the escape He'll make. Says to bear it. Often the only escape is to endure it. You say, Brother Freddie, that's not much encouragement. Yes, because James picks it up. And James says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life. It's payday coming. Payday coming. Comforting words for the lonely. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, just a part of that verse. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Saints, we'll never be alone again in that city, in that home. I remember talking to a dear brother who's been a big encouragement to me a few years ago. And he was, what we would say, down in the dumps. I said, brother, what's the problem? He says, Brother Freddie, my greatest problem is I'm lonely. I'm lonely. And Brother Roddy prayed for these shut-in saints many times by themselves, lonely. Brother Monty over there now, isolated. But he'll never be lonely again when he gets on the other side. He shall be reunited with his loved ones. That day we'll all be reunited. And we shall forever be with the Lord. What a day. What a day when we get in our heavenly home. In those verses 15 through 17, the word Lord is mentioned at least 6 times. It says the word of the Lord. It says the coming of the Lord. To meet the Lord. Always with the Lord. The Lord himself and forever with the Lord. See, it's all him. It's all him. And Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? No one. And Paul gives a list of things that men might think could separate us from the love of God. And he goes on to prove that none of these things can separate us from him. And none of these things shall ever separate us from the presence of God in that day. Finally, for the trustful, for those who have trusted him, for those who have placed their faith and trust in him, placed their confidence in him, their complete reliance on him for salvation. Listen at what Isaiah 33 says. And to me, this tops the message. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. And listen at verse 24. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Saints, one of the great marvels of heaven to me will be, I'll awake and I'll find I'm there. I believe I'll pinch myself. Yes, Freddie, you're really here. That's to be one of the great marvels. Not that I deserve to be there. Not that I've done anything that should cause me to be there. No, no, no. I'll be there. And this is one of the next great marvels to me. Because the King wants me there. You'll say, Freddie, how do you know that? He gave his life for me. He left the splendors of glory, came to this world, and went to the cross that I might be there. That's how I know. You know, if you go to some function, some party or wedding or whatever it might be, and you've not been invited, you feel out of place, don't you? You say, well, I don't know if they wanted me here. But if the person who's putting on the function invites you there personally, you feel like you want it. Well, the King wants us there. But the greatest marvel of all to me, saints, and I know it's to you tonight, is that I shall see the King in his beauty. That's going to be the greatest marvel of all. I shall look upon him. And it will not be a face streaming with blood and spittle. It will be a glorious, beautiful face. And I shall look upon him, the one who saved me by his grace. It will indeed be worth it all when we see Christ. What a day. And saints, we're going to have one thing in common when we get home. You'll say, what could that be? We shall all be forgiven. One thing in common. Saints, listen, I'll never, never fail him again. Not there. I'll never blush at the thought of sin there. I'll never have to retract another word to go say I'm sorry. I'll never have to retrace another step. Not there. We're going to be home, free from sin, with our blessed Savior. Oh, that will be glory. Glory for me. When by his grace I shall look on his face, that's going to be glory for me and you. Saints, that could happen tonight. And we could be whole forever. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. A man who was dying called upon his secretary to write a letter to his friend. The secretary began to write, "I continue to be in the land of the living," the secretary wrote in her desire to help the man. Oh, he says, "Oh no, stop, stop, stop. Write it over. I continue to be in the land of the dying," he said, "but soon I shall be found in the land of the living." I said, saints, we live in the land of the dying, but soon we can be found in the land of the living. You ready to go? If you don't know him tonight as Savior, you could be ready by simply placing your faith and trust in him. If you don't know him, I trust you would do it tonight. Good to have Brother Willie here with us, and he's still been under the weather and been under 3 operations, he told me, just this year. You know, and 2 for the same problem. But God has been good in every scene tonight. I'm going to ask you to be kind enough to just close this out in a short prayer.